At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yama, you're listening to NITV Radio. Sport for Jove Theatre and Seymour Centre will present their biggest undertaking yet with Damien Ryan's brand new adaptation of Shakespeare's and Marlowe's history cycle, The Player Kings Part 1 and 2. It's a contemporary storytelling of a collection of Shakespearean history plays. I'm joined with one of the ensemble cast members, Ruby Mayne Henaway. Hey.
Hello, how are you?
Thanks for coming and having a yarn with me on here today. I just wanted you to introduce yourself real quick. Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, so I am a Birriggubba girl, born and raised in Brisbane, however, but from Duraland, which is an hour south of Townsville in a humble little town called Ayr, A-Y-R.
That's much further than being in Sydney, right?
Totally, absolutely. It's from Brisbane. I know it as a 17-hour drive. It could hypothetically be an 11-hour drive, but with the never-ending roadworks that have been going on for years, it turns into 17 hours. So add another 10 hours on, it's nearly 30 hours away from here, where I'm sitting right now.
Wow, real long. So people don't just fall into ensemble stage productions. What's your story getting into theatre to this place now?
Yeah, so I'll chase it quickly back from school. I graduated with an interest in movie making, essentially behind the scenes. And I was lucky enough at 17 to fall into behind the scenes work, crew work on a movie called Love and Monsters. And there I was a little humble craft service assistant feeding everybody. And that's where I also realised I wanted to do acting. And so fast forward to working crew on Elvis, there was a natural COVID hiatus. And in that time, I capitalised on that time to take acting lessons and essentially auditioned for drama school, where I got into WAPA, the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts, into the Bachelor of Acting. And so I graduated from there in 2023. I was lucky enough to do a play. The girls in my class and I did a play with a wonderful director, Anna Houston, who lives and based in Sydney, actually soon to move to New York. And she, coming out of third year, was directing a play called The Lonesome West by Marta McDonagh at the Old Fitz in Woolloomooloo. And I think she was aware that I was moving to Sydney as well, but basically I got to audition for the role of Gerlene Kelleher, and even more lucky enough to have gotten it. And so I did that at the start of 2024. And Damien Ryan, the director for this play, had watched that because he's friends with Anna Houston. And kind of fast forward 7 or 8 months later, he asked me to audition for this, mainly for the part of Joan of Arc. And so that's how I got into it.
So is Joan of Arc your character in this play?
Yes, so I am Joan of Arc, you could say, is my main part. I also play the chorus in Henry V, which has a very fabulous and original twist to it that you'll have to come watch to see Damien's interpretation of it. It's pretty amazing. I don't want to give anything away. And Lady Anne Neville in Richard III, and then, you know, all the filler background roles of nurse and soldier number one, etc. So yeah, Joan is basically the main role.
So you said that you can't share too much because you want audiences to see, but what can you share about the play and what audiences should expect?
Yes. Well, that's a huge question, I think, because we're dealing with a huge play. There is so much that will be happening. But essentially, I think what you can expect is in the world today. And what I mean by that is, as humans, we seem to never learn. And I think society proves over and over that Shakespeare's works are timeless. It's terrifying when you see, when we're in the rehearsal space, the parallels between Shakespeare's text and what is happening in governments around the world. So it's kind of a reflection on, the people in power and how we coexist with that. But essentially, Damien has made the point before that this isn't so much a history play, but rather a mirror to our society. So it's it's a validation in how we can, in how we feel, how we are dealing with politics within the community, nationally and globally.
So you've just shared there a little bit of the political angle of the play. I have a quote from you earlier that says that the characters are willing to compromise on their relationships for their own sense of greater good, and that it takes courage to step forward and put actions to words. Why does the political storytelling speak to you?
Well, I think naturally.
So you touched a little bit on the politics just before, but you also had a quote that I have here saying that the characters are willing to compromise their relationships for their own sense of greater good. And I just wanted to know, why does the political storytelling of the play speak to you?
Yes, so the political storytelling of the play speaks to me because, as an Indigenous woman, I think Joan of Arc is someone to look to. Australia is still a very fresh country. I think we tend to forget that. And, even before rehearsals started, my dad said we need a Joan. Our people need a Joan of Arc. Our country needs a Joan of Arc. And so, as an Indigenous woman, the essence of her morals and values is something I essentially can identify with. She was very happy to compromise whatever she needed to, basically, for the greater good of fighting for her country. She sacrificed a lot, and it wasn't just in a contemporary sense. For us, it wouldn't have just been relationships on your political stance, but for her it was also her own life. And this, it's quite remarkable. She's quite a remarkable person in that time, especially. She is just, first of all, she's a woman. Actually, she's a girl at this point. She's a 15, 16-year-old girl. And we felt she had a calling to save her country, literally save her country. And she was brave enough to trek across the land, first of all, convince a soldier to take her across the land, which is already dangerous in itself. There's nothing safe about what Joan does. In her entire life, there's nothing safe about it. To cross the land, to go to the French Dauphin and convince him and his royal court that she is called to save her country, to essentially lead a military of men again, in a battle of men. And I keep saying that because she's at this time, she's a girl. And you really only see that kind of today. But basically, to lead an army of men to their victory and win back France, win back Orléans. And so I just think Joan of Arc is an absolute beacon of hope that we can look to, who wholeheartedly believes in her country, herself, her people, and that, I think, propels her people forward.
So you talk really passionately about your character. What about the play and your cast that really excites you about the project?
Yes. So I am incredibly excited for this project because I think, first of all, it's a once in a generation event to see this canon of plays in its entirety, like condensed, but in its entirety, and like this sweep of history performed by a cast of this caliber. I mean, we're working with veterans of the theatre. You have your seniors such as John Gayden and Peter Carroll, who have just been on the scene since forever. And you have, you know, your like my fellow peers who graduated from drama school a few years before me, but who have started to accumulate their time and experience in this industry and everything in between. And having been on the rehearsal floor, everyone truly holds their own, and it's spectacular what everyone brings to their roles. It's gritty, it's exciting, it's like the stakes are terrifying, the stakes in the play, and yet so well performed and carried out by everyone. Damien Ryan is a phenomenal director, as I've come to learn. It's unfathomable the amount of work he has on his hands, and yet how gracefully he deals with it. And it's exciting working with someone who just, to me, it feels like Damien Ryan knows absolutely everything about Shakespeare. And to complement that, he has such a spectacular taste in how it should be performed. He's very good at holding on tightly and letting go lightly for whatever serves the work. And I just think it's an exciting story to tell, because I only did a couple Shakespeare works at drama school. We did Much Ado About Nothing, and we did King Lear, and of course we had our standard units on Shakespeare. But I feel like I learned a lot at drama school, but I've definitely learned the most being in this room, and more so how it actually is still relevant to us. And that's why it's so exciting to me, and that's why I've been trying to convince my parents why it's a good play to come to, because naturally Mum was hesitant to fly down and watch 8 hours of Shakespeare, and I think in her mind she was expecting a stuffy period piece of gowns and swords and, you know, anyone who isn't familiar with Shakespeare, what they would expect. But it's not that. It's contemporary. It makes its way from the 60s through to the early 2000s. And it truly, truly feels like a reflection of our society. And I've never felt more political till now.
Well, it sounds amazing. I can absolutely hear the passion in your voice when you talk about it. And I'm sure our listeners would be really excited to hear more. Where can they find tickets, updates, or any more information about The Player Kings Part 1 and 2?
Yeah, so we are performing at the York Theatre at Seymour Centre. So you can find the tickets to our show. They're available now on the Seymour Centre website. You can, Sport for Jove has a few websites. They have a website, they have a Facebook and an Instagram profile that they that will link you to Seymour Centre to buy tickets. There's only 8 shows. So get in quick, because it is selling very fast. It's March 26th to April 5th, 8 shows. So it will fly by. So you should get your tickets now so you do not miss out.
Thank you so much, Ruby, for yarning with us today. The Player
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
All good. The Player Kings Part 1 and 2 is presented by Sport for Jove and the Seymour Centre, and will be taking the stage, from the 26th of March to the 5th of April. I'm Nairi Pakai, and you're listening to NITV Radio.